Hugo Jaya is with us now from the UK. Hi, Hugo.
Good morning, Catherine.
Oh, a week ago, I don't think we'd even heard about it. Now it's all we can talk about at the moment. Everyone's trying to understand the impact of Omicron, and the cases are popping up in the UK.
Yeah, they are popping up. It's 32 confirmed cases, I think. The true number of cases that are already in the UK is likely to be in the hundreds, probably. And obviously, that's only going to grow. Frankly, it's only going to grow in every country in the world. The government acted with relative speed, as again in a lot of countries over the weekend, imposed significantly stricter travel restrictions. Obviously, nowhere near as tough as in New Zealand still, but stricter than before, and also reintroduced compulsory masks in shops and on public transport. They're currently resisting the pressure to go further. Obviously, Britain is currently one of the most open countries in the world, but also one of the countries with the highest COVID rates. And they're hoping that Christmas can sort of go ahead uninterrupted. But there's still so many question marks about Omicron that very much all up in the air still.
Everyone's waiting to see what those key markers are, you know, severity of illness and ability to evade the vaccine. They're all questions we just have to try and have some patience over, I guess. The Brexit rows over migration, these are deepening.
They are, yes. You know, Brexit is supposed to be all done and dusted, but there's still so many areas of tension, and the main one is between Britain and France. Obviously, we've had hundreds of years of being uneasy neighbours. Last week, a tragic incident: a small boat sank in the English Channel, killing 27 people who were trying to seek asylum in the UK. But rather than bringing Britain and France together, it seems to have driven the two sides just further apart. So France held a summit to work out what to do about this. They invited the UK along, but then uninvited the UK from the summit because they were upset about Boris Johnson's tweets. Emmanuel Macron, just a few hours ago, was quoted in the French press calling Boris Johnson a clown. He said, "When we meet face to face, we can talk sensibly like adults. But then the moment we leave the sort of privacy of the room, he goes and talks all sorts of nonsense behind my back." Equally on the other side, the UK are convinced that Emmanuel Macron is just sort of talking tough over migration rather than trying to seek a solution because of the French elections next year. It's a really sort of nasty scenario, and unfortunately, the tragedy of last week doesn't seem to have made any difference in helping the two sides realise that actually they need to number one, set up safe migration and asylum routes, and number two, therefore, shut off the incredibly unsafe, illegal routes that lead to people crossing small boats in the English Channel in the middle of winter.
It's just one of a number of rows that continue post-Brexit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Another big one between Britain and France specifically is about fishing. I mean, this one, unlike migration, is far from life and death, but there are a number of French fishing boats that claim they've been shut out from the English Channel. They say they've been fishing there for years, decades in some cases, and that since Brexit, they've lost the right to fish in the English Channel. They've started blockading ports, trying to stop British boats getting through. Britain's retaliating by training up the Royal Navy to break up blockades because they're worried that ports are going to become unusable, that the electricity supply to the Channel Islands, which are very close to France but controlled by Britain, is going to be shut off entirely. And talks at every level are not going well. Talks between the British government and the EU are not going well. They go in They're meeting once a week. They go in saying we're here to meet solutions, and they come out and instantly brief against each other. It's Boris Johnson was elected on a platform of getting Brexit done. On one level, he's done that. Brexit's happened. The UK is outside the EU. But the rows that Brexit has caused are nowhere near being over.
Labour, meanwhile, has had a reshuffle. And what's the reaction to it been?
Well, I mean, you know, as I've said, the Conservative government is in a constant state of chaos thanks to COVID, thanks to the aftermath of Brexit. But Labour can never take advantage because there is nothing they like more than arguing among themselves. Keir Starmer carried out a reshuffle on Monday. He failed to tell his deputy, Angela Rayner, that it was happening. So she was... She was on the airwaves here on Monday morning saying, no way, there's no reshuffle. I would know about it if there were. Literally 2 hours later, it kicked off. But the upshot is he's brought back a number of veterans of the Tony Blair and Gordon Brown era. He appears to have shifted the party a little bit further away from the left, back towards the sort of ideology that prevailed in those years. The hope is that he has now put the Labour Party in the position to fight an election in sometime between 18 months and 2.5 years from now. And if, as he thinks, that a little bit of infighting is what you need to resolve arguments within a political party, then they could be in quite a good shape. But the infighting needs to end soon, because at the moment they're completely tearing themselves apart.
It sounds familiar. Perhaps there's a reset coming. If you've been following New Zealand politics the last week or so.
Quite, yeah.
Now, it's
yeah.
a lovely story, isn't it? The three-day lock-in at the Tan Hill Inn.
Yeah, incredible. So winter's definitely started in the UK. We've had very cold weather and we've had storms in lots of the country. And you know, as ever with bad weather, for those of us who live in cities, it's just a bit dreary, a bit miserable. But for the inhabitants of the Yorkshire Dales, it was a bit more special. The Tan Hill Inn, the highest pub in England, had an Oasis tribute act play on Friday night. They had a couple of dozen people turn up. But then, while this Oasis tribute band were playing, it snowed so hard that no one could get out. And they spent almost 4 days stuck in there. They put mattresses on the floor so everyone would have somewhere to sleep. They brought out board games. They had quiz nights. They played films on the big TVs. And by the end of it, I think most of the punters were quite happy to leave. But some of them said they enjoyed it so much, they're going to come back next winter and have a reunion and hope that it snows so much that they get locked in there again.
It is. It's lovely sort of fairy tale Christmas stuff. We could do with a bit of that at the moment. Thank you very much. Hugo Jai in the UK.